What else can we talk about? It's election on Monday.
You found the age?
Oh, yeah. I am so glad you brought up the age of the queen. I mean, the election.
Wait, listen. That shit didn't even say how. Wait.
Oh, there's got to be a birthday on
this. You never ask a woman's age. That's what
born 1926.
So?
That's a...
break out your mouth, kids.
Oh. That's a nine... No. That's 85?
86.
85, 86.
Call in now if you want to challenge our math.
So, if you can do math better than us, please call
type it. Run, type C8 calc. What year is it now?
It's 2011.
2011 minus...
Yeah, but then you gotta figure in months.
Oh, so it was like it was her birthday a week ago, more or less.
Yeah. Happy birthday to the queen.
What did you get her? 85. Holy crap.
85.
I got her a Kids in the Hall box.
Okay, so voting.
Yeah.
Let's talk about voting.
So, yeah, Monday is the big
I like that you brought that up.
Yeah. It's a good.
Yeah, it's a good thing that you should. Yeah. What do you think about the voting climate?
Voting climate, I don't know.
I think people really need to look at what's going on in their areas and choose wisely who in your area has a better chance of taking the conservatives out.
All right.
That's my opinion.
Oh, it looks like we're getting the cut.
We're getting the cut.
No, we're not. Just pretend you didn't see that. Just pretend you didn't.
We
didn't
what see happened over here?
You know what? Who cares about what you vote, who you vote for? Just vote, kids.
Yeah, Come on.
As long as it's not the conservatives.
Let's make
be wise and vote.
Except for the conservatives.
Make it more than, because only 35% of people vote.
I'm gonna vote.
Which is kind of lame. Like, we should at least make it 50%.
Come on, you get time off work.
Go and, like, vote twice. Actually, that's probably illegal to say.
Don't say that. But it's the young people that need to go out and vote.
Yeah, for sure.
Just go there and vote. Aren't you sick of being apathetic?
No, yeah, exactly.
So we're tired of the baby boomers.
Because, the biggest thing is that, you know, you can't complain unless you actually voted.
Here's a good marketing scheme. Have a voting party. Only people that can get in have to have voted.
Yeah.
I don't think it matters anyways, because 2012's suit, like, we're screwed anyway.
I saw that movie, too.
Whatever. No, after King's Speech. F the movie, man.
George Lucas is big in the 2012
I will tell you this. Theory. I will tell you this. Just believe in yourself. Become a man and understand how to control your emotions and try to live your life with love and everything will turn out splendid.
Fantastic.
And don't believe the hype.
Yeah. Inherent Vices.
Don't believe the hype.
Inherent Vices. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you, Ben.
And Burnside will tell me about the secret.
Ben Lai!
And Burnside's going to tell me the secret to Coca-Cola.
No, what's the other one? It's like cups, or there's some caramel.
Reese
cups?
Something like that.
The caramel.
And right now, next act on Live from 24 Hours of 24 Hours of Live from Thunder Root Radio Hell. I'm sure I'll get that right at some point. It. Evan Simmons, live on CIT.
Evan!
CIT.
Woo!
Happen.
I'm Evan Simmons. I keep on rolling.
still moves me forward. Might have drawn the fool card. Maybe mercy finally calls. Even though you'll always laugh at me, I keep on crying, 'cause I know that pain is meant to be. Death might stop me, but a wisdom cross still moves me forward. I'd have drawn the fool card. Maybe mercy finally calls. I keep on dreaming, even though these dreams are getting old. I keep on scheming, even though my fate just might withhold. Death might stop me, but a wisdom cross still moves me forward. I'd have drawn the fool card. Maybe mercy finally calls.
Thanks. I'm Evan. Evan Simmons, and this one is called Con Artist. She hides her cunning with charisma. But how are we to guess when there are no obvious clues? Better listen carefully and wait for subtle cues. How do you tell you are dealing with a con artist? What a sign. Recognize, so you can avoid a sucker punch. Controlling the message with her arrogance. Human but saturated. At what point does the salesperson go too far? Will it be obvious if they're just manipulation tricks? How do you tell you are dealing with a con artist? What a sign. Recognize, so you can avoid a sucker punch. He speaks like a poet, and he always gets a sale. I wonder if he's really a famous actor. There will be a time when it pays to be alert. We could save your money, or your freedom, or your life.
All right, I'm switching over to acoustic now. And it's plugged in. And can I get a bit of that in the monitor? Unless, oh no, it's my fault. My fault. This song was inspired by a number of things, but one of them was the garbage dump in Pelly Crossing, Yukon, where there were many ravens chowing down on the garbage, and I thought this song, the Raven 8 Compromise, would kind of do them some justice, but I sure as hell am no raven. We'll be right back.
like a farewell to friend, only staying long enough to eat the best ones. Always finds its wings to fly away before the storm. Never needs to find out what the other weather's like. When I was a young boy, there was a bit of a grave at the edge of our property. We had a nice 12-acre spread in Prince George, British Columbia. And not really on our property, but on the next property, there was a grave, and it had a navy blue sign. And with mustard letters, it said, "Here lies TikTok, Duncan's dog." And when I got older, I thought, wouldn't that be a great place to find a skeleton? Sorry about that. Thank you.
emotion I finally shared with the quad. Marathon step towards progress yields a unified salute, but the irony of extinction fails to satiate the need.
I'm Evan Simmons, and this is a song about laying your best intentions to rest and getting on with being the selfish prick that you really are, and it's called a personal boundary line. I might just need a little bit of tea. It's Thunderbird Radio Hell. Is this the second 24 hours of Thunderbird Radio Hell? Yes, the second 24 hours of Thunderbird Radio Hell. Thunderbird Radio Hell has been on the air since sometime in the 80s. And Ben Lai has been the host now for some time. And I've really, really enjoyed the lineup of bands that Ben has been bringing in. They've been fantastic, and it's really awesome to have Evan and Irene, Irene and Evan working on sound. And Mark from Radio Vancouver has been out here tonight. Is he still here? Is he on the board? There he is. Radio Vancouver on CFRO. And I think that our dear friend Kelly will be in tomorrow about 4 o'clock. And anyways, on with personal boundary line. Do you say you're sorry when you don't mean it? Does your deal get worse as days go by? Telling yourself it's right to be unselfish. Is your mouth ready to erupt? Soon you had shut your mouth. Only seconds after you finally spit it out, you took a little ferry ride when you should have crossed the Brunt Bridge when your ferry sank. When your personal boundary line is always retreating,
selfish? Is your mouth ready to erupt? You have left a soap opera stain on what was once so precious to you. Look at all the potent scenery that your good intentions took you to. But you're better off selfish when your personal boundary line is always retreating. Figure out just where you stand, finding words with clear meaning. There is always room for more points of view, but your line is there to protect you.
Well, this is sort of in the same vein. I got a couple more in the same vein, but a couple albums ago. And it's it's called Bleak Sandwich. I guess I should introduce the band who couldn't all be here. There was Evan Simmons on drums back in Texada Island. And then there was Evan Simmons, and that was real drums, by the way. And then there was Evan Simmons on bass guitar. That was also on Texada Island. And now, and then there's Evan Simmons on guitar and vocals here in the studio at Thunderbird Radio Hell, and this would be Bleak Sandwich. Away.
times this ain't that good. On the days when the brink of divorce tastes even better. Don't wipe the stains of the odd tears off your plate. Let's plan a feast for our most desperate friends at the graveyard. What would you like with your Greek sandwich? What if I get you? What would me please you? Why would you let me take this stone away?
All right, thank you. This is my last song for tonight, and I was at a show for Vonnegut Dollhouse, who were a great band that broke up, like most bands. There was a great band called Crawl and Trust Us that I saw at the Railway Club, and they played with Zolty Cracker and Evil Twang back in about 1992, and they were one of the best bands I ever seen in Vancouver. And then there was, you know, Parlor Steps and some other fantastic groups. Once in about the year 2000, another emerging artist who went by the name of The Organ actually played in this space. They played Thunderbird Radio Hell. And they were getting relatively successful, and then, of course, a lot more successful than most. And then, of course, they broke up. And I saw them at the Vonnegut Dollhouse show. And I had been in a group for some time that had also just broken up. And when I saw Katie, I just couldn't shut up. Hadn't seen her in about 5 years or whatever. And then I went home and I wrote this song, and it's called What to Do Next. I'm Evan Simmons. Thanks a lot for having me on Thunderbird Radio Hell. All of this quote finally cemented my memory, and all of this space helped me to finally escape from the pains. I saw some friends tonight, friends tonight, friends tonight, who were lost in a similar way. I had so much to say, much to say, much to say. I almost spit out words. And I love the ways you've amazed me with the songs you sang so well for us. When you were young, you were so full of a garden path. But now you just need some time to figure out for yourself what to do next. What to do next.
Evan Simmons live on Thunderbird Radio Hell. Thanks, Evan. Coming up next, Star Tropics, and also I'll be chatting with Evan in a little bit. Have a little talk about everything. Maybe a bit of history of Thunderbird Radio Hell. That might be fun. You are listening to 24 Hours of Thunderbird Radio Hell. Don't go anywhere. We're not even halfway done yet. So that's coming up. So yeah, we'll have more on CITR.ca as soon as we're good to go.
Practice. Woo. Give us a hand for us.
Woo!
Woo!
How does it sound out there? Can people hear us? Are people gonna call
this is,
in?
This is weird.
I doubt it.
Playing to no one.
Shh, I can hear the wind.
That's not weird, actually.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Okay. All right then. Ready?
1, 2, 3, 4.
On the corner of my street, where I always go to meet you, you take me to the penny shop, where I always go to talk about things we're gonna do. We're gonna be happy together, yeah. We're gonna make it forever, yeah. So in love we'll always be. Nothing can get to you.
Out of time.
one way to skin a cat, you know?
One, two, three, four. Came home late just last night. When the bed turned out the light, out my window it began. It gave me quite a fright.
My mic smells like Mr. Clean.
My mic's...
You're listening to CITR Radio 101.9 FM. You are... Just join in. If you've just joined in, this is 24 hours of Thunderbird Radio Hell, where we go on the air from 6 p.m. Thursday, which is yesterday, I guess, until today at 6 p.m. A lot of bands has played on the show already, starting off with No Band, and then Boogie Monster... Aunts and Uncles, Hello Moon, SSRI, Romok, Catamaran, Shearing Pinks, Anna, Fortress, Inherent Vices, and you just heard before what you just heard, Evan Simmons playing live on the air. The last couple of songs you heard were from Mao, which was recorded back in July 11th, 1996, when they played on this program live at Thunderbird Radio Hell. Excuse me. And yeah, so it's 3:45. I think a lot of people are actually up, but watching the royal wedding. Good for them. I'm sure it's very, very exciting. If you're up, listen to the show. Thank you. Thanks for listening. We have another about 13, 14 hours left. Well, we're not even halfway through the show yet, but we are plowing through. I'm not exactly tired yet. It's fantastic. It's kind of mumbling here and there. Coming up next in around 4 o'clock, 4 in the morning, Star Tropics is going to be playing live in studio. And actually, Evan, now joined by Evan Simmons, who just played on the show.
Let me close the door here. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Make sure the mic's on. You're number two, right? Sweet.
Sounds like it's...
Feels good?
Yeah, feels good.
Awesome. So... I just played a bit of Mao on the show. How do you pronounce it?
Mao. Yes.
Were you at doing that? Were you part of it when this show happened?
I don't remember doing Mao. I think that I took breaks over the years, and sometimes I think that was a period when Tara was doing sound, and she engineered the organs record. Mm-hmm. Or produced it or whatever, and I first met them. They played at the Malcolm Lowry Room, and at the time, Dave from the Smugglers was going out with Nico Case, and her snare broke, and I lived in Burnaby, and I had a snare, so I went and lent her my snare. And then they played their set, and I'd forgotten all about them. And then, And then 6 years later, they played one of their last shows. I think it was at the Brickyard. And Nico came up, and she was all really, really friendly to me. Yeah. And it surprised me. It took me, because it was before she was super famous. And I didn't recognize her at first, and then I finally done. Oh, that's that girl I lent the snare to.
Right.
And
she remembered.
Yeah, she remembered me, which was kind of cute. Yeah, I was kind of happy about that. But anyways, I did not do Mao. I did play a show with Rob Dayton, had a group from Toronto, and we played a show in Montreal. And Coco, I think her name is. No, that's a different. No, not her. What is her name? The guitar player from Mao.
Does it say it? I don't think it does.
What's this business? Okay, I'm writing all of this.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. The guitar player from Mao, Toby.
Yeah,
that's right. She learned how to play drums, and she was playing with Robert Dayton's group, and they were, I can't remember what the hell they're called, but they were really awesome, actually.
Yeah.
And she really played really, really good. We did a show in Montreal with them and a local. It was actually basically late 1990s Vancouver scenester gig,
mm-hmm.
but it happened to be in Montreal.
Yeah.
Almost everybody who was there was really from Vancouver.
Yeah.
It was kind of cute. Yeah.
Was there a lot of Vancouverites in Montreal at the time then, or was it just people, just the bands that was playing there?
There was a bunch of people from Vancouver who had moved, definitely.
Yeah.
And there was some of them I knew and some of them I didn't know, but there was this group called Rivers and Mountains, I think, and they were like a 13-piece sort of improv thing, and they put the show on. Well, I put the show on, but they really effectively put the show on because they brought all the people.
Right.
And I just did the postering. Some of them were from Montreal and some of them were from Vancouver. It was really a lot of fun, that show. It was nice to see Robert.
Right, very nice. So going back, I guess, to this Thunderbird Radio Hall, you did sound and hosted the show for many various years, different periods and such. Any good stories? Anything that sticks out?
Well, there was a few stories. Yeah, I've got a few. I remember when Zampano came in,
mm-hmm.
and they brought Zampano, who some member or Carl at least ended
Carl up Newman.
In the New Pornographers. They came out, and I'd made a bunch of cassettes for Zampano one time, like back in about 92 or whatever, and then I think it was 94 they played the show, and they brought out a guy who ended up being one of the guitar players for John Ford and later moved to Toronto, and I remember seeing him in the Bovine Sex Club in Toronto one time. But anyways, he came out to do sound for him, for them, and he was really like just kind of being super arrogant and stuff, and I got really pissed off.
Right.
And I bailed completely. And then there was the time when for many years Nardwar was the host, and one night he got really annoyed at one of the other sound people, and he grabbed all of the cords out of the mix board and then took the mix board for a wander down the hall and then came back. And I asked him about it not too long ago, and he didn't actually remember.
No.
It was shortly after that he was in the hospital. No. So.
Do you know why was he mad at the person? Was it just
What it was the person who was helping with sound for a while at the time, who shall go nameless, although he's in a famous rock and roll band. He was a really amazing engineer. He turned out to be he's a really good producer. And he's also a musician. And he really wanted to turn Thunderbird Radio Hell into a really pro sort of sound thing. Like, he was a better sound person probably than any of the rest of us who ever did sound on Thunderbird Radio Hell that I'm aware of. And he brought compressors and all kinds of stuff with him, and like really, really tried hard. And I guess he was taking it too seriously one day. And, you know, Nardwar was just kind of like, well, you know, it's supposed to be screwing around a little bit, right? This isn't really that bloody serious.
Mm-hmm.
Take a pill. And he got very, very upset and booed down the hall with the mix board. There was another time a relatively famous Czech Republic group whose name I can never pronounce properly, but they were Ušme Doma or something like that.
Okay.
They were the English translation to me is the house band, because I think Doma means house. And we had the reel-to-reels to tape groups, and we sort of weren't going to do it for some reason or another. But then the guy wanted to, because he thought we would be taping and then playing them later, so he wanted to know. And then we sort of, we really should tape the house band, because they were they were touring around a lot, and it had been like their third or fourth tour from the Czech Republic, and they were, you know, pulling about 150, 200 people at like the Brickyard and stuff, and they were these big lumbering guys you wouldn't want to meet in a dark alley, and they were probably nice, but the so then we decided, well, we were going to tape them, but then they found out that they were actually going to air live, and they would not let us tape them.
Well,
they just like, no, you're not.
No.
And we went, I guess we're not. There's five of you, and there's Narkmore and me. No. So that's just not.
So so they went on live though. But
they did go on live,
but they didn't want it. They don't want a record of it being live.
That's what they didn't want was us bootlegging it. They actually, you know, what they didn't realize is that we barely ever got around to actually, like, you've got Mao on this CD, but it took years and years and years before anybody got around to actually taking the reel-to-reels and doing something with them. And there's tons of them that have never been done.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God only knows if you can find a reel-to-reel that even works.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, ultimately, it would. Who knows Ushmi Doma now? I mean, they were famous for a while, but like, I don't really think they're that famous now.
No. Like, did you guys used to get a lot of out of town bands and such? Because for us now, it's kind of hard because on a Thursday night, just the schedule wise, it's almost impossible to get.
Yeah, most groups,
touring bands because they're playing. You know, they don't take a night off, especially not in Vancouver. If anything else.
There's been a few touring bands over the years that we managed to come in. Like one time, Amy Honey phoned me up and she said, "You got to come and see this group. It's Daddy Saghetti and Feist."
Right.
And I'd never heard of either of them. Of course, it was like 2000 or something or 2001, and I went and they were really good. And I was really kind of. You know, a lot of the Toronto bands at that time, they always seemed more commercial than the Vancouver bands.
Yeah.
They always, they were slicker, and it wasn't like that they were better. I actually mostly prefer Vancouver bands because they're a bit more experimental. But anyways, they were somehow, to me at that time, I just thought their songs were amazing. And they were playing the Railway Club on a Wednesday, and then they had a gig at the Sugar Refinery on the Friday. So
okay,
I said,
"Well,
why don't you come out and play Thunderbird Radio Hell?" So they came out, and I took a bunch of pictures and stuff. And then I remember, like, years later, I have this picture of Leslie Feist. Her hair's like shorter and stuff. And I sent it to a few friends because somehow it, like old friends from Prince George, because she came up in conversation or something or other. And I see somebody's like posted it, like has replied to this email that I sent and said something along the lines, "Bah ha ha! Here's Leslie Feist before she was before she had, you know, her manicured hair, you know, whatever, you know." It was just like totally making fun of her and stuff. And I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
But anyways, there was a group who I always kind of thought had a great name. Probably some people think it's really bad. They're called Bobby Joe Ebola and the Children McNuggets. And I had them. It was actually, I was going to San Francisco to play a few shows my friend Dave Mitchell was getting married to Deanna from Frightwig, who were an old relatively famous punk rock group in the 80s, and so I wanted to play a couple shows while I was down there, and Nardwuar said, "Well, I know these guys, Bobby Joe Ebola and the Children McNuggets or John Geek, you should get a hold of him." So I did, and he got me a couple shows, and one of them was like a backyard party. And another one was with a Black Sabbath cover band. This was weird. Like, I didn't know what to... There was this guy, and he's out on the street, and he's acting like he's retarded. I'm thinking he's retarded, right? He's, like, got me snowed. Like, I'm totally believing that he's retarded, and he's got a cup out, and he's trying to get money. And everybody's making fun of him, and I'm thinking... This is rude. It's just, this is terrible. This is the worst travesty ever. Like, how could they make fun of the poor retarded boy? Like, this is terrible. And he, you know, he's going around and, like, trying to get money. Well, then he puts the bloody cup down, goes on stage, and he's the singer in the band. I was like, oh, my God. I was just terrified. But anyways, later... Bobby Joe Ebola and the Children McNuggets came up and played Thunderbird Radio Hell, and they also played a show with a group called Monovia. And then they broke up for a long time, and John Geek was in a group called the Fleshies, who were on Alternative Tentacles. And then recently they got back together again a year or two ago, and they're playing, like, they play Gilman Street all the time because they're really, you know, connected in the Berkeley area or whatever. And sometimes they got me a show at Gilman once about 10 years ago, and I've got a picture on, you know, MySpace or some damn thing of me playing Gilman. And every once in a while, someone will actually know what Gilman is, and they'll be all, my indie cred stock goes up, like, to the moon for a minute, just because I played Gilman before. But you know, Nardware was able to get the odd touring band, and I was able to pick up the odd touring band, but for the most part, when I was booking the groups, I tended to have, you know, groups I liked that I saw at shows that, you know, or maybe some of them were my friends. And Nardware was a bit more experimental. He would, like, actually, you know, get cold calls from people and get them on. Mm-hmm. And often that, you know, would be a little disastrous. He'd, like, get somebody that was... I mean, obviously, lots of the groups that Nardware got on were great, and there's a whole wall full of tapes. But there would be, like, once every 6 months, he'd get some group, who were, like, really, sounded like one of those commercial Toronto bands or something, and they'd come in, and they'd have all these expectations that they were on the radio, and we'd have this, like, cheesy board that Ed bought, or got for free, Ed Crazy Kid Curdy, the accordion player, and it was, like... And they'd throw attitude at us, right? And I'm, like, volunteering.